Steve and Jill here.
Howdy.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from pretty Paradise Valley, Arizona.
Today, Jill and I talk about who should you hire first in 2021. It's a very popular question in our customer service Land Academy environment. How do I get that first employee?
I'm excited. I have some ideas.
Me too.
First, before we get into it, let's take a question posed by one of our members on the Land Investors Online Community. It is free, so get an account there. And then, by the way, if you are a member, I know that we're like beating a dead horse here, but I want you guys to get in Discord. It rocks.
John asks, can anyone elaborate and help me understand the paragraph from V26 May investors letter, newsletter? We have a newsletter. Mm-hmm. Land Academy does. I don't know if it goes to everybody or if it goes just to our members. And so I write stuff in there. I'm a writer for the newsletter. And this whole thing, I'm going to read this because this person is asking for clarification about what I said. A lot of years ago, I was listening to Larry King on this long drive, and he was interviewing William Shatner. And of course, Star Trek came up. And Larry King said, you know, do you have these people that ever come up to you and ask you about Star Trek? And he said, oh yeah, I have people that like on a daily basis. And so they take a question from a caller on that switchboard. And the caller says, what did you mean by, and when you said XYZ in episode 14 of, you know, and the third season of Star Trek, and William Shatner blew his top.
That's funny.
He said, mm-hmm. He said, listen, I can't remember even actually doing that show at all. Ever. Are you writing down the time?
Yes, I am.
I don't remember showing up for work for that entire part of my life, let alone episodes and what I said and the dialogue and all of that. And by the way, it wasn't me who said that. It was my character. And so he just went off. And I don't know. I stopped the car. I was laughing so hard.
That's good.
So here I am saying and writing some stuff that I'm going to try to translate that I don't remember saying or writing.
Oh, go for it.
He asks, can you elaborate or help me understand what you meant? And what I wrote is this. Here is what it can do for property investors like us. After reviewing the entire 150 million unit data set, there's 150 million unit properties in this country. I would like to see properties with no improvement value, just land, in zip codes where the spread between the average completed sale value and the for sale values are the largest. So you've got really large for sale values and really low completed sale values. This tells me where to send out blind offers. Then I would like to see within those geographic parameters what acreage range is the widest. This tells me which owners or to whom to send blind offers. After scrubbing down to this data set, I'd like to know what the actual spread prices are. This tells me for how much to send each offer out, how to price the offers, period. That makes complete sense to me. Does mm-hmm. it make sense to you? Mm-hmm. What he didn't include, and it's fine, is the context of what this was. And what I said, and this is my advice to everyone, take four steps back and don't get all in the deluge of the data. Take a look, open Google Earth, and look at that globe and that map of the United States. I addressed this in our first education program. There's 150 million unit data set of properties in this country. Your very simple job mm-hmm. is to look at and learn how to look at data, learn how and where to get the data to figure out what the best place to buy land is. And that's what I'm describing here. Mm-hmm. So please go back and read the newsletter. You know, I don't think that this is complicated, but that's why we have Land Academy. I guess mm-hmm. that's why we're sitting here. Uh-huh. But it really does require a philosophical look first
yeah.
and a conceptual look before you actually dive into the data, you know. Dream up the data set that you want.
Can I translate?
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. So let me translate. Sure. So what he's saying is you need to look at, so we want to see with no improvement value. So we want to make sure that we're looking at land, right? And the spread, I think we kind of understood that. For sale, okay, I'm repeating you. It's just, never mind. I can't say it any better than you already said it and you wrote it. It's, you know what? If it's not clicking, you know what? Here's what I think is going on. This happened the other day. Where was I? I don't remember. I think we were out to dinner, and it was dinner or brunch. One of those two. It was at the same establishment, and I was overhearing someone's conversation, and they were talking, obviously, with other people in their industry, and it sounded to me like a bunch of gibberish. You know, seriously, I'd go, yeah. I'd take a step back and go, huh? And then I could finally connect and go, oh, that's what they do. Oh, that's what they're talking about. I had a really, and a lot of the terminology and things I didn't know.
It's just not clicking with you.
No, it's not what I do.
And you don't care.
No, that too. So it'd be like if you want to sit and talk about taking a car apart right now, I'm really not going to pay attention and I'm really not going to care. I will know what words like carburetor are, but I don't really care about all the pistons and everything you're going to discuss and the timing on the belts and, you know, whatever. So anyway, I'm sure that this could be a version of that.
The timing on the belts.
Why did I say that wrong? I probably totally read.
There's a timing belt for sure, but I don't think the timing on the belts.
How do you time the belts? Is it seconds? Is it minutes? I don't know.
It's minutes.
Okay. I see. I don't know.
This is an episode of Car Talk now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a timing belt that's in minutes?
I don't. Anyway.
Like a freight train or something.
Okay.
It's like milliseconds, love. Oh, sorry. It's pistons going up and down. Like, that's what RPMs are. Never mind.
Okay.
It's just cute. It makes you cute.
Well, here's my point. So John, you're not nuts. It might be that for you now. It sounds like gibberish a little bit. So what Stephen just explained, big picture, give it 6 months, you're going to go, oh, now I understand.
Or go back and really deconstruct the paragraph, the ridiculous run-on sentence that I wrote here.
Oh, gosh, yes. You clearly wrote that.
I know. Deconstruct the whole thing and really just take it. I did, actually. Yeah. I always have deadlines.
We need an article right now.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I know that.
It happens every single time we do it. We need an article in an hour. We're going to print on this.
Yeah, you're late is pretty much. He's known for a week, but anyway, we'll get into that.
Today's topic, who should I hire first in 2021? This is the meat of the show. I know you have a lot to say. Huh? Rotations per minute, Jill.
So we we've done a lot talking about this. Even like we started 1 week on the Land Academy Ladies call. And it was all about hiring. And it turned, we didn't finish up on the first week. We did a hiring, you know, part B the second week because everybody had so many questions about this. I know a lot of you are at that point. You're either at that point or you're thinking about it. You should be, the day you start your business, you should be thinking about
this. That's right.
The day you start making your, you know, figuring out how you want things run, how you like your file structure set up online, you know, how your customers are handled. Even if you only have two properties, I want you to start thinking about this stuff and writing it down and thinking about getting help. Because the better you get, the more you get into it, you will need help. Or you're just going to be, you'll be limited in the deals that you can do. And I don't want you to be limited. And then the other thing is too, it's sure nice when you can rise above it all and put yourself in a position where your team runs everything, but you just do the important parts like we talk a lot about. Where you're doing the data, you're doing the pricing, and then from there they do the rest. You approve the deals. That's the perfect scenario, I think. But so should you fire first in 2021? You should be thinking about the job that you hate the most.
That's true.
And the job that you are the slowest at, takes the most time. Like for Steven, his was talking on the phones. Mine is paperwork. Doing stupid deeds. I'm so sick of deeds. So I don't do deeds anymore. Thank goodness. But sitting down and making sure the verbiage was right. It's not like it's that big of a deal. It's not like it's hard. It just was painful for me. I'd rather be on the phone closing deals. And that's where I'm best at too. So you need to think about what you're best at, what you hate, and think that's the first person that you hire is to fill that gap for you. So now you love what you do again and you can do more deals.
There comes a point in everybody's land career, and you're either before you've gotten to this line or after you've gotten to this line when you're listening or watching this, where you say to yourself, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, this job that I have, this W-2 job that I have, is standing in the way of making me money. It's costing me money now. It's not making me money. I go to work for 8 hours, 10 hours a day. And then I start working on my land business. I make $80,000 a year in my land business, and I make $40,000 a year in my W-2 job. I probably could be making $200,000 if I worked on this full time. Right. And then you cross over that line and you do make that $200,000. And I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people in our group that all agree on this, especially at the live event. And they say, wow, I should have done that 2 years earlier.
Yep.
That's when you know you've made the right decision. And so that feeling or that conversation that you had and then the outcome is the exact same thing that should happen with that first employee. You need to look at your day, your typical day, and say to yourself, if I didn't have to do this, 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 and this, and this, I could make three times as much money.
Right.
I really need to hire somebody. And so that's the parameters or the criteria that you start to interview for to get that first employee, so they take you out of the stuff that's stopping you from doubling how much money you make. Mm-hmm. And then that's the same thing with the second person and the third person and the fourth person. You need to have that conversation with yourself.
Mm-hmm. We had a call the other day, it was last week, with the Land Academy ladies, and it was a presentation by someone who was just starting their land business. And you know this person is, I'm not gonna call them out right now. But anyway, they were sharing how they structure their business between, it was them, their brother, and their best friend. And how the things that did worked well and things that didn't work well. And she's working on her first, like they're all kind of partners, if you will. So no one took any money. They kind of divided up their responsibilities. And she shared, you know, some of it worked, some of it didn't work. So she's like, now she's the head of it all. And she's like, I'm taking charge again. And I gave these two jobs. They're going to still be involved, but we're going to take this a different direction. And she's working on hiring her first employee. And her pain point is just staying on track and organized and a few phone calls. She's like, I only need 10 hours a week. Someone to put everything in Airtable. Someone to make sure everything's noted. Someone to make a calls now and then to the title companies that they're all moving forward. You know, just little things like that. So it just ties in here. You just need to identify whatever that pain point is, and that should be your first hire.
So for me, I don't think this should be everybody has a different point of view on this, and I would love to hear your opinion. But for me, that first employee that I had, and I've had to restart because of the economy and a lot of stuff, like three times in my life, I've had to restart the land business. Mm-hmm. And every single time with that first employee, they sat, and this last most recent time it was Jill, not as an employee, we're doing that as partners. We needed to sit in an office together.
Yeah.
And that can be painful.
It's true.
It was hard for us.
A little bit.
But it worked out great, obviously. And so the other two times before that, it was the same thing. For me, they need to see how I do things and why, and it'll spend at least 2 weeks with sitting there with somebody so that you can say, look, this is how you do a deed. You go, they do this, 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 and this, and I expect you to do it all the next deed, just as an example. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got people now, one specific person doing a mailer for me, doing mailers for us. And I just look at it at the end and make sure it's okay.
It's your exact checklist. Mm-hmm. Pull it this way. Do this, do this, do this, do this. I'll jump in here, approve it, then go on. It's good.
I'm not the kind of person who has 10 VAs reporting to me and then I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy having one person who works for me full time reporting to me and having 10 VAs report to them.
I agree. That's my favorite too.
So it's that key person. You know, that first employee that just, they need to hang out with you and see that this works.
That's it.
And they might not work for them or you.
Yeah, it's good. You need to hire someone. That's a good last advice. You hire them knowing they're going to take over this stuff that might just be minutia, like poopy stuff, but with potential that, hey, that they can grow with you and then take over even more. So you don't want to hire someone that's not that bright. They need to be really sharp. And I would argue that in today's climate and environment, you could find someone really bright and they don't have to be in your same city. Although I know you want them sitting next to you, you could do a version of that remotely.
Yeah, I mean, we're in post-COVID times, so however you want to handle that and that person wants to handle that, as long as it's mutual and consensual, then handle it that way.
Ooh, ending on mutual and consensual. My goodness. All right. We need to call it now. happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show, well, it's Jack Thursday. And why? Our new product called Concierge Data could change your life. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Whew. Mutual and consensual.
You like that?
Yeah. My goodness.
You know, Jill, I didn't think of it
that. Staffing. You threw that in with staffing. I'm like, how's that appropriate?
We're going to get in trouble, man.
I know. Oh. And we got to go back and bleep that word.
Yeah.
That's all right. We got this. Hey, if you need access to any sort of ownership or property details, including owner phone numbers and FEMA flood map overlays, check out neighborscoop.com. Created by investors, that's us, for investors like you.
We are Steve and Jill. Consensual.
And what's the other word?
Mutual.
Oh my gosh. Not so much conforming. To buy undervalued property.